Star Walker Studios presents Star Citizens United, a podcast dedicated to making the most of the future hit PC video game, Star Citizen. Greetings, citizen, and welcome to the Star Citizens United podcast. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. Today, we'll take a tour of the Farron star system. Hello, citizen. Welcome to episode 36 of Star Citizens United. I'm Lex Starwalker. Thank you so much for flying with me today. So we are quickly winding up season 3 of the show. Just 2 more episodes, counting this one. And been covering a lot of lore of the game and having a good time doing it. I just want to remind you to be sure and enter the contest to win a Reliant in the game. The deadline to enter is midnight, October 5th. So you have until this coming Sunday to enter, and then I will be choosing the lucky winner. So you can find the Rafflecopter entry form for the contest in the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com/StarCitizensUnited. And again, I want to thank Carrier Strike Group 3 for donating the Reliant for this contest. Now, next week, episode 37 is the season 3 finale episode, and I will be announcing the winner of the Reliant on the show. So if you win, you have 24 hours to contact me with your Star Citizen email address to get your prize. Otherwise, I will draw another winner. And I will also be listing the winner in the show notes for episode 37 at starwalkerstudios.com. And I will also email the winner with the email that they provided to Rafflecopter. But I will need your Star Citizen email address so that I can get the prize to you on your Star Citizen account. And yeah, so the winner will have 24 hours to respond and give me that information. And if I don't hear from that person, then I will draw a new winner and that person will have 24 hours and so on. So if you've entered the contest, definitely be looking for a notification of your possible winning on next Wednesday, which will be October 7th. So yeah, you should receive an email from me. And again, I will announce it on the show. And you can also just go to the website, starwalkerstudios.com/StarCitizensUnited/37 and see the winner there and see if you're the lucky one. Also, real quick, I want to let you know that unfortunately I'm going to have to change the RSS feed for the show. So if you subscribe to the show on iTunes, you don't have to worry about it. iTunes will automatically update to the new feed and you'll be fine. However, if you have subscribed in some other manner, then just to be safe, I really recommend that you head to the website starwalkerstudios.com/StarCitizensUnited. Go into one of the episodes and you'll find the RSS button at the top of the show notes, and I will update those with the new RSS feed address so you can subscribe to the new feed. Now, regarding today's episode, I'm just covering one star system today. A lot of times I cover two. However, the Galactic Guide article on the Farron system is, at the time of recording this, the last Galactic Guide article on the website. So as of now, I have covered the entire Galactic Guide, as well as all the writer's guides, or all the writer's guides I thought were worth covering. There might have been some that I skipped, but I don't remember. It's been so long. So I'm sure there will be more Galactic Guides, but obviously doing a weekly show, they're not going to be able to keep up with me, and I'm going to need another source of content than the Galactic Guides because I've just powered through them all. So I will, with season 4, start pulling in lore from some other sources, some other places, I have a few ideas, a couple ideas I've gotten from listeners, a couple ideas of my own. But if you have any ideas or suggestions for season four, as far as topics I could discuss or good sources of Star Citizen lore I should check out for the show, let me know. You can email me at scupodcast@gmail.com. And also, if you'd like me to cover anything other than lore on the show, let me know that too. Now, I am planning a hiatus, a break between season three and season four. As of right now, I'm not sure how long that will be. A big part of it is just going to be having content for the show. You know, so once I start season four, I need content for 12 episodes worth of the show. I'm not going to do, you know, two episodes of season four and then not do episodes for a month because there's nothing to talk about. Now, I think there will be plenty to talk about, and hopefully I'll hear from you some ideas of places I can go for lore, some ideas of topics you'd like me to discuss, and maybe even ideas for things beyond just the lore of the game that I could talk about. Because, you know, if this podcast continues forever into the launch of the game, I'm not going to do exclusively lore forever. It's always been my plan, especially once the game actually launches and we can actually play the game, to branch out and do other things. I'm not sure what yet. Won't know until I can play the game and see what I think of it and see what about the game I want to talk about at that point. But it's never too early to kick ideas around or to get feedback from you. So if you have an opinion or any thoughts, definitely let me know. scupodcast@gmail.com. So as I said, there will be some downtime after season three, but there are plenty of reruns of Star Citizens United that you can go listen to. We'll have 37 episodes at that point. So I'll bet you money if you go back to the first episode, you won't remember it. It's been so long. I don't know how long that will be, but I will definitely, you know, keep you posted. Obviously, the best place to go for information about the show or any of my shows is the website, starwalkerstudios.com. Definitely stay subscribed. And as long as you stay subscribed, when I start dropping new episodes, you'll get them automatically. Which is the awesome thing about podcasts, right? It's so easy. All right, so now I'm going to talk about the Farron system, and this is coming from the Galactic Guide to the Farron System on the Robert Space Industries website, and I will have a link directly to this article in the show notes for episode 37 at starwalkerstudios.com. As noted historian Ariel Root once wrote, "If the Sol system is the Empire's heart, and Terra is its head, then Farron is the blood coursing through its veins." When the system was discovered in 2460, few could have predicted how vital Farron would be in driving the economy and expansion of humanity's burgeoning empire for decades, or how far it would eventually fall from its former glory. Farron was discovered by Polly Lommett, one of the founding members of the Sol Astro Exploration Society. Composed of extremely affluent adventurers who dedicated themselves to the search for new star systems, the SAS can be linked to many jump point discoveries of the time. Lommett had been sailing the expanse of Croshaw for several months already, and low on supplies with a restless crew, he was days away from having to return to Sol when his stoker, Darcy Farron, noted that their quantum drive fuel calculations were off. There's some technobabble for you. Lommett, double-checking the figures, surmised that the extra burn-off was due to the pull of an unmarked jump well. Sure enough, 2 days later, the crew would become the first humans to jump to the system that Lommett graciously named after the perceptive Darcy, and upon his return in the tradition of SAS, gifted the coordinates of the system as a philanthropic donation to humanity. After initial government surveys were complete, the system was declared an ideal candidate for settlement and open to the public. Corporate and private interests sped to the system, eager to stake their claim. The ensuing battle for land and mineral rights grew so unruly that the UNE intervened and established a lottery to help arbitrate the disputes. After the first drawing took place, a myriad of loopholes and flaws were uncovered that had given some parties and companies unfair advantages, which took years to be sorted out. The government's failed attempts at mediation served to highlight both the impotence and inefficiencies of the UNE as it struggled to cope with humanity's rapid expansion. Some historians theorize that the bureaucratic failings during Farron's lottery fanned the flames of reform that eventually led to the dissolution of the UNE and the formation of the UPE in 2523. And if trying to keep UNE, UPE, and UEE straight in your head is confusing, you're not the only one. Despite its troubled start, Farron was already on the fast track to prosperity due to its wealth of natural resources. Before long, it was a bustling hub of mining and trade, and in 2529, the system achieved represented status within the UPE. Centuries of success followed as the system provided the materials necessary for humanity to conquer the stars. In its heyday, Farron's population had grown enough to rival that of Sol, and it was well on its way to becoming a political equal as well. But sadly, the system's success would not last. The first reverse of fortunes happened in 2791 when Messer the 11th falsely accused the system of being home to dissidents. Fearful of the Imperator, numerous wealthy citizens and Messer loyalists fled the system, taking large amounts of funds and clout with them. When the eventual military strike did come, it was only thanks to the legendary bravery of the members of Squadron 78 and their heroic unwillingness to kill civilians that violence was avoided. But by then, the economic and political damage to Farron had already been done. The next blow would occur in 2832 when Shubin Interstellar announced profit losses for the first time ever in the system. The mining conglomerate cited the depletion of a major mine as the cause and noted that more site closures were expected to follow. This would prove to be Farron's death knell. Years of aggressive mining had taken its toll, and the system by this time had been nearly picked clean. As fast as its rise to prominence had been, Farron's fall from grace would be even faster. Within a single decade, the population of the system dropped by nearly half, and its economic health dropped even lower. Today, it is only a shadow of its former glory, the bones of a vibrant system that bled itself dry of resources for the good of the empire. While Farron is far from an ideal destination for the casual traveler, the system has drawn its fair share of visitors attracted by its historical significance, as well as more adventurous prospectors hoping to find some remnants of valuable ore that may have been overlooked. The dwarf planet Farron 1 sits closest to Farron's main star. Uninhabitable and lacking in resources, only the scientific community gives Farron 1 much thought due to the unusual and so far unexplained variance in its magnetosphere. Farron 2, a coreless planet, would be just another dead world in any other system, but in the Farron system, it was a disappointment. Farron 2 lacked both easily accessible minerals and the right conditions for terraforming, which thrust it into the shadow of its resource-rich neighbor, Farron 3. However, tough times in Farron have caused people to give the planet a second look. Many are hopeful that new advances in mining technology may eventually lead to the planet being able to turn some kind of profit. Farron 3, called Asura, was once considered the system's crown jewel. The vast reserves of valuable ores and minerals that were discovered during Asura's terraforming process made it an economic and political powerhouse. During this extended economic boom, little thought was given to what would become of the world if the mines ever did run dry and only minimal secondary industries were established. Asura was a mining planet to its core, and for nearly 400 years, every shred of planetary resource was dug up, harvested, refined, and shipped away until there was nothing left. Depleted into a shell of the planet's former glory, the people descended into poverty. Nowhere is this better represented than in the rapidly deteriorating and crumbling infrastructure of the once great city, Tram. With most of Asura's land set aside for mining, the stunning industrial megapolis of Tram became the planet's financial and cultural center. large factories, refineries, and housing developments were interspersed with beautiful public parks. Now life in Tram is considerably harder. Today the city is mostly shuttered and abandoned, and its skies are a near permanent gray from all the toxins that have been carelessly pumped into the atmosphere by heavy industry. Water is in constant demand, as most of the natural supply has been equally contaminated. And as for the population that does remain, while some civilians still eke out a living with repair or refueling stations, criminal enterprise has surpassed any legitimate business as the main industry. Visitors should be cautious when moving around the city, as an ongoing police strike has considerably increased the chances of being accosted, particularly when entering the city's parks, now a hotbed of illegal activity. Those looking for deals should visit one of the planet's mining superstores where equipment sits gathering dust. Remember to take a trusted friend, coworker, or hired guard along. Criminal elements have been known to target guests who make significant purchases at local establishments. The swirling surface of Farron 4 is a beautiful sight that pilots have learned to enjoy from a safe distance. The gas giant's thick layer of metallic hydrogen behaves as a giant electrical conductor, which can be severely problematic for a ship's sensitive avionics. Bands of outlaws have been known to lurk on the fringes of the electrical field, waiting to prey upon malfunctioning ships. So there you go, a little information on the Farron system. Doesn't sound like a terribly interesting place, although if you're on the wrong side of the law, Farron 4 might be a good place to hide out. Maybe you can make friends with the other outlaws there. And that, fellow pilot, is going to wrap up another episode of Star Citizens United. If you would like to reach me, you can email me at scupodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Google+, just search for Lex Starwalker, and follow me on Twitter at Lex Starwalker. Please visit my website, starwalkerstudios.com, where you can find the show notes for this show. You can also find my other podcasts there. Also coming out this week from Starwalker Studios, yesterday I put out yet another episode of Game Master's Journey, my tabletop RPG podcast from the GM's perspective. So if you're into tabletop RPGs, definitely check that out. Later this week, we'll be putting out yet another episode of Beer Tasters, our craft beer and homebrew podcast. So if you like the sudsy drink, check that out. And finally, in a few weeks, we will be launching our brand new podcast, The Expanse Unofficial Podcast, which is a fan podcast all about the upcoming Expanse TV show on Sci-Fi Channel. Going to be a great space opera. My wife Nikki and I are doing that show, and we've read all the books, which are excellent, and I definitely recommend, by James S.A. Corey, if you haven't already read them. And we're very much looking forward to the show. I sincerely doubt that you haven't heard of The Expanse, being a fellow sci-fi nerd, but if you haven't, definitely go check it out. It is going to be awesome. And of course, check out my podcast. It's going to be awesome too. So I want to thank you so much for strapping in and flying with me today on another episode of Star Citizens United. I will be back next week with the season 3 finale episode and to announce the winner of the brand spanking new Reliant. Until then, I'll see you out there. This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts. Please see all that Starwalker Studios has to offer at starwalkerstudios.com.